Back here on Downtown, it's 4:31 on a Thursday afternoon. Time for us to talk some football as we welcome back to the program our friend, the voice of the Patriots on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, Bob Soucy with us. Hello there, Bob.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing just great, thank you. How have you been?
I'm good, thanks. We're starting to get back into the football mode here after the draft and some player availabilities. Of course, had a chance to watch rookie minicamp last week. So the excitement's starting to build, and now the schedule is out and running down where we're headed when. It's a good time.
Boy, that sure is. Well, let's talk about the schedule. That's the most recent event here, that schedule release yesterday. And I saw you pointed out on social media that at least in terms of the number of wins that opponents got last year, this is a pretty tough schedule.
Well, it is. And to take it a step further, Rich, at 4-13 in the NFL, of course, finishing with one of the worst records in the league, the old formula to establish parity suggested that the Patriots would have a softer schedule. But then you start to look at the teams that they have to play, the fourth place versus fourth place games. And you have Cincinnati, for example, to start things this year. Well, the reason the Bengals finished last in the AFC North last season was because Joe Burrow got hurt. And if Joe Burrow is healthy in week one, and the Bengals are reasonably healthy, they are an AFC championship contender. So, you know, that changes things. But I think it goes beyond that. To me, the degree of difficulty is heightened for the Patriots for several reasons. Number one, obviously, you know, they're going into the season, new coach, new staff. There's the mystery at quarterback. It's expected to be Jacoby Brissett who starts for them. You know, but it's certainly a lot of newcomers either on the sidelines or out on the field for the Patriots offensively this coming season. But then you have just the way the games are lined up, two West Coast trips, or at least two trips to the Pacific time zone, as opposed to one. I think the thinking was that the Patriots would play San Francisco and Arizona back-to-back, and then having split them up now, you look how those dates fall. For example, late in the season, the Patriots go to Arizona. They play a late afternoon game in Phoenix, just outside of Phoenix in Glendale. And then they come back and they've got to travel again the next weekend to Buffalo. And the fact that the bye is late, now sometimes teams welcome that, but the Patriots are going to London and they're coming back to play the very next week. Last year they had a bye the week after their trip to Germany. Whether that was by request of the team or not, it is a quirk this year compared to last season. So there's a variety of reasons that this schedule for the Patriots shapes up difficultly. But it would have, regardless of how the layout was, regardless of who, when, and where, coming off a 4-13 season with a new staff and a new starter quarterback for them this year, whether it's the veteran Brissett or rookie Drake May, it was going to be a difficult road to navigate for them.
You do get to go, as you mentioned, across the pond, this time to the UK. Do you have a preference? I mean, again, it's a working trip. It's not like you get to do a whole lot of sightseeing, but if you got to pick a place in Europe you could go, where would the UK rank?
Well, for football, this is certainly a great opportunity. I had a blast last year in Frankfurt. And again, we don't spend a lot of time there, and you're right. There aren't many opportunities to sightsee. But I love the experience of it. I love the excitement of it. The fans were terrific, for example, in Germany, which, by the way, is a country in which American football is extremely popular compared to other European countries. The fans that were there were very enthusiastic, and they wore their enthusiasm with every jersey in the NFL around the stands. And they reacted. They knew football. They didn't just react to the kicking plays, as was the custom for a long, long time in Europe because of the natural connection to the soccer-style kickers and punters that are out there for the American football teams. But, you know, to me, number one, London beats Jacksonville. Mm. Let's start there. And number two, I think it's just, you know, historic Wembley Stadium, although it's a new Wembley Stadium, nonetheless, it's Wembley Stadium. And you think about all the great soccer matches and then all the great concerts played there. And of course, the Patriots have been there before as well. You know, to me, that's a thrill just to be able to broadcast a game from Wembley. But I love it. I love traveling wherever we go. But going over to England, I certainly look forward to that. As you mentioned, you don't have a lot of time. I'm not sure when we would leave. Typically, the teams would head out late Thursday so that they arrive on Friday, and you have a day and a half before you play the game as a team to get ready and get acclimated. And I'll try to take advantage of that the best that I can.
We're talking with Bob Soucy here on Downtown. So, a rookie mini camp. What were your impressions of Drake May?
Well, there's not a whole lot that you can take away from it, except for the things that people describe in terms of his physique and his arm strength. They're out there in shorts, no pads. They're playing the draft picks, the undrafted free agents who signed, and a large number of tryout players, four of whom were signed out of that rookie minicamp. But the things that strike you immediately about Drake May and Joe Milton, the second quarterback the Patriots drafted, not surprisingly, you begin with their size. Like, we've watched Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi, for the most part, as the Patriots quarterbacks the last couple of years. Very short guys in comparison to Drake May and Joe Milton. And the same goes for the arm strength. Now, paling in comparison in terms of watching these two young quarterbacks, May and Milton, throw the football. Milton especially, people describe his right arm as a bazooka or a cannon, forgive me. But nonetheless, it is really amazing the strength, the arm strength that he has. But Drake May also very easily gets the ball downfield. So I think those are the things that stand out immediately, given what we're watching out there. But then when he takes his helmet off, Rich, and you see him on television, it's one thing. But when you see him up close on the field immediately after practice, he is a kid. He's 21, and he has the face of a 14-year-old. I mean, I have a 13-year-old who's about to turn 14, and I think, facially, if not the rest of his physical development, my son probably looks older than Drake May at 21. It's really amazing, and it really dawns on you that this really is a kid, and it's going to be a huge undertaking for him, despite those physical gifts, despite that size, and despite that arm strength. But the boyish enthusiasm matches the boyish looks. He certainly was exuberant, relatively speaking. When he talked to us after the practice, he seemed to carry himself out on the field with a lot of energy. How well he can sustain that during the course of the year remains to be seen. But those are positive signs. Those are positive signs for sure.
And it sounds like you couldn't have a better mentor than Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby really is an impressive veteran leader now. And he was an impressive young quarterback when he came in as a rookie, as the third quarterback in the Patriots locker room, behind Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think you go back to Brady's Deflategate suspension in 2016. In week two, Garoppolo gets hurt, injures his right shoulder, and there's Jacoby Brissett, a middle-round draft pick who has to go out and finish that game against the Dolphins, and then turn around on a short week with essentially a makeshift game plan and go out and quarterback against a good Houston Texans defense. And he did that and helped the Patriots to a win. He tears a ligament in his thumb, and he goes out there the next week. And though they lose, he nonetheless was able to get through that final game of Brady's suspension against the Buffalo Bills, facing Rex Ryan's defense. So we knew that this kid was mature. We knew that he had moxie even then and was tough. But as we watched him go around the league, to Indianapolis after being traded by the Patriots, and then to Miami, of course, to Cleveland, having started against the Patriots a couple of years ago, and most recently with Washington last year, he's been someone who could start in a pinch, but most, I think, striking for him in the eyes of the Patriots was how he influenced young quarterbacks and what kind of a resource he was, for example, for Sam Howell last year while with the Washington Commanders, and Alex Van Pelt, the Patriots offensive coordinator, along with the quarterbacks coach T.C. McCartney, both come from the Browns. From the offensive line staff, Scott Peters comes from there as well. So there's a lot of familiarity with who Jacoby Brissett is and what he's about on their part. But of course, I think for the Patriots, they know the kid that came here out of NC State when he did back in 2016 And he still very much is that kid, only with a lot more experience and having shown a lot more leadership in the years since.
How about the new receivers? How do they look to you?
Well, Rich, you know, the receiver drills, I don't want to put too much stock in it. You know, they kind of go through the drills, and it was a very short practice, I should note, about an hour, but they kind of go through the drills initially almost in three-quarters motion. You will see exaggerated steps, for example, before they run a pass pattern a second time, or at least a pattern in a drill. We won't really have an idea of how they look, in my opinion, until they get out there with veterans in July and they start practicing and padded practices and things get competitive when jobs are at stake. We'll find out a lot more about them. You know, there was some 7-on-7 work in the rookie mini camp, but again, it's a totally different deal. I don't want to put too much stock in it. That's why I'll only go so far as to say that, you know, from my standpoint, May's a big kid. Milton's a big kid. They have big arms. We saw and got a sense of the enthusiasm of Drake May. We did hear from Jalen Polk afterwards following the practice as well, the first receiver they drafted in the second round. He seems like a very mature young man. He's got a good work ethic. I mean, consistent with what we've heard and read about him from the people who followed his career and analyzed the draft more closely than I. So he's someone that, you know, I think that fans will like. He'd be a good route runner, be a physical player. Whether or not, though, he can be a playmaker, a guy who separates, you know, again, we won't have any idea about that until he gets out there and has to execute those routes against veteran defensive backs.
I saw the Patriots signed a rugby player, and I thought Coach Belichick was back.
Well, you're starting to see more and more of this, Rich. The Patriots did sign a player. He's on the International Pathway Program. The good thing about that situation, just like with Jakob Johnson when he was here for the Patriots, it doesn't count against your 90-man roster limit. So that player is roster exempt. He played for the developmental team for the Brisbane Broncos in Australia. But we're seeing more and more of that influence. There are other players in the league that have come in to the NFL. The best example from outside of this country would be Jordan Mailata, who's a mammoth offensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles. And, of course, the Patriots had Nate Ebner, who walked out of Ohio State after playing rugby. But I think we're going to see more and more of it. Typically, you see the rugby players as punters. It's kind of become a cottage industry in Australia for a lot of Australian rules/ rugby players to go into these kicking camps and learn to kick for American football. But in this case, you've got a young man who's going to be out there with the Patriots, at least in the OTAs. We'll see if he sticks around until training camp, and he's here in July. But he's going to go out there and, you know, with his rugby skills and athleticism and try to convert to American football full-time. He's had some experience doing that already, but he's going to try to now, you know, make some progress with that.
Away from American football, I saw that you had the chance, I think you and your son went to see the Revolution play when Messi was in town with Inter Miami, and wow, what a great setting that was. My son is absolutely soccer crazy, so I was showing him some of the videos, and boy, it looked like a great environment.
Rich, it was incredible. And I did actually went with my daughter because my son is he's my concert companion. My daughter is my soccer companion.
Excellent.
And we were very, very, very fortunate to get tickets for that game. It was a game, obviously, under great demand. And I thought about my experience in Mexico City in 2017, broadcasting the Patriots and the Raiders, when Tom Brady went to Mexico City. And the reaction of the fans there, and I'm not talking about the American fans who traveled. I'm talking about the locals, the Mexican citizens who were there at the stadium in Mexico City, and the way they chanted and reacted to Tom Brady when he came into the stadium and everything that he did with the chance of Brady by the end of the game. They were almost giddy over Brady that day. And I got the same sense being in Gillette Stadium, I think, of what it was like for those Mexican fans. Watching Messi coming out from warm-ups and then watching him during the game. And I thought there were times where maybe he was going at best half speed, but he was so much better than everybody else. And I don't know a lot about soccer, but you could see when the ball came off of his foot, it was immediate. And the pass was totally 100% accurate. And the touch and the feel and the spacing and the awareness, he stood out. And I'll use this cliche, like a man amongst boys, even though he was probably, you know, one of the smallest. He certainly was one of the smallest. He might have been the smallest player out there in terms of his height. But just the way that the crowd reacted to his every movement, so many fans there in Inter Miami jerseys, Argentina jerseys, FC Barcelona jerseys, 65,000. It was a great atmosphere. And I think the Revolution do a wonderful job of game presentation. Overall, I've been to a game as recently as last year, and I really think that they do a great job there. Unfortunately, it's a stadium that's built for an NFL team, not necessarily an MLS team. And, you know, when there's 65,000 people there, then it really feels like a major, major event. Mm. You know it is because Messi's out there. But I'm glad the Revolution had a chance to showcase how they present the game, even though the team has been struggling so this season.
Yeah, that's great. By the way, so we always post pictures of the day's guests on our Facebook page, and it wasn't until I saw the whole layout of pictures today and I realized that Ben Mankiewicz of Turner Classic Movies is your doppelganger. You guys look remarkably similar.
Well, that's a heck of a lot better than the person I often hear people compare me to, which is Daniel Snyder. So I'll
take it. I would never have said that, but no, not a chance.
Thank you, Rich. I really appreciate that. I know you. You're a good man.
Bob, it is great to catch up with you. As always, are you making your annual trek to Southern Maine later in the summertime?
Well, we got up to Maine a couple of weeks ago, Rich, for a weekend. I'm not sure what we're going to be doing for the summer in terms of Maine. I'm sure we'll get up there at some point in time. My hope was to get up to Acadia or Booth Bay this summer. We did make some alternative plans, so we'll see. But I hope so. I love it up there.
All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful summer. We look forward to catching up with you again as we get closer to the season. Thanks as always, Bob, and we'll talk with you soon.
All right, Rich. Thanks a lot. Take care.
You bet. That's Bob Soucy, voice of the Patriots.